As I said, it's good to see you here today, but let me ask you the question, what did you do yesterday? What did you do yesterday? Bunch of stuff. You might have gone shopping. Any shoppers? Anyone went shopping? A couple, yeah, two, three. Anyone just stayed at home, did a bit of housework, that sort of thing? What do you think the disciples did on that first, what we would call, Easter Saturday? Would they have gone shopping? Would they have done the housework? What would they have done? They probably... Oh, I did a funeral yesterday, and that's probably something more like the feeling that they would have been at, that grieving, that I think probably silent disillusionment as they just sat there and maybe they just looked at the ground, trying to process everything that has just happened and all their hopes and dreams have not quite been met. But let me tell you one thing I'm absolutely sure they weren't doing. They weren't together going, I can't wait till tomorrow. I can't wait because Jesus said he's going to rise from the dead. It's going to be awesome. Nothing like that. Nothing at all. Even though Jesus had told them on multiple times that he would suffer and rise again, they just didn't get it. These are verses that Elizabeth read for us. The first bit there about the women. Here are some women who witness an empty tomb and then see two angels who explain the empty tomb to them. It says there, he is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they, the women, remembered his words. Remembered his words. Remember those words. Can you remember those words? Remembered his words. Those are the words to remember. You might be saying there at this point, yeah, it's really nice to be here, but really a story with angels in it and a man coming back from the dead. Are you serious? You know, if I was going to make up a story, if I was going to fabricate a story about a man coming back from the dead today, if I said, well, the first thing that happened was an angel came and said something to me, you'd be going, woo-hoo, we know where this story's going. And when did the Easter Bunny come? And then the fairies, did they come alive as well? And the goblins, you know. If I was trying to make up a story today, I would not put angels in it. It just sounds unbelievable. And if you feel that it sounds unbelievable, you're in pretty good company because the disciples thought exactly like you do. This is unbelievable. This is crazy. It says there, when the women came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. If you were today making up a story about a man who came from the back from the dead, you would not talk about angels because that's not really going to endear your story to people. If you were in the first century, whether you like it or not, if you wanted to fabricate a story about a man who'd come back from the dead, you would not use women as your primary witnesses. Now, simply, as far as you might be, well, as far as we're frustrated with it, and as far as it is wrong to say, women in the first century were simply not credible witnesses. Now, we're disgusted at that, but that was the case. You would not use women as the first witnesses if you were making it up. And secondly, if for some reason you had to use women, you would certainly not use women like Mary Magdalene, a prostitute. We'd call up for your defence the local prostitute. Is there somebody else? I think that this description of simply what happened is one simple thread that, amongst many others, that suggests this is not fabricated. This is just the explanation of what happened. Well, it says there that the women's words seemed like nonsense to them. Well, I don't know why it would have seemed like nonsense to them. Is it that the women weren't very good at speaking? I mean, in my experience, women are quite proficient when it comes to talking. My nana used to say, generally speaking, women are generally speaking. And that was my nana, so don't get mad at me. And she's a girl. Yes, they would have been breathless as they told this story to the 11 and the others who were with them, but it would have been articulate. The tomb is empty. Two angels told us to remember what Jesus said, that he would suffer and rise again on the third day. Does that sound like not? Do those words not make sense? Is there something wrong with those words? It says here in verse 12, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Oh, I mean, are you hearing the funniness in this story? I mean, maybe the women were standing there as Peter saying, shush, 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 I'm trying to work out what happened. Stop talking. They say, didn't you hear what we just said? In verses 13 and onwards, we meet these two disciples, Cleopas and the other disciple, which I think is probably Luke. And they're on the way, heading to Emmaus, and they're talking about all that had happened. This is the same day. I don't know, a few hours later, I'm not sure. Well, it just says there out of the blue, Jesus walks up beside them. Now, I find that funny. If God created the whole world and everything, then he created the sense of humour. He has the best sense of humour in the whole universe. I don't know, I just picture, this is not in the Bible, this is just in my head, I just picture Jesus waiting on the road, knowing that they're coming along, and then jumping out behind them and walking up to them. I don't know, I just picture that. Well, however it happened, he did that. Jesus walks up beside them, but it says there they are kept from recognizing him. Jesus says there in verse 17, hey, what are you talking about? I mean, did he know what they were talking about? Of course he knew what they were talking about. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Now, the ironic thing is that we know that he is, in fact, the only one who knows what has happened. It's everybody else who doesn't know what has happened in those last few days. He knows it exactly. However, he says, oh, what things? Was he smiling then? Was he doing this? Probably. They say about Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Well, see, they did understand what the women said. It wasn't nonsense. They got it absolutely clear what they said. Notice he says there at the end of verse 21, what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. Now again, I don't think... Okay, I had some milk on my cereal, like a lot of people do. I didn't buy that low-fat milk. I bought that milk with extra cream. That's the good stuff. The other stuff's full of sugar. You did realise that, didn't you? Anyway, there you go. And I was thinking, it's getting to the bottom of the bottle, and it was quite thick. So I said, oh, this must be where all the cream is. So I poured it in, poured it all over, and oh, it tastes a bit funny. Had another mouthful just to check that the first mouthful wasn't something. Then I looked, it was 3 days out of date. That's why it was so thick. Now, the point I'm trying to get across, which will be terrible because it won't get across, but anyway, I'll try. I didn't sit there and think, 3 days out of date. On the third day, this is Easter Sunday. This is the third day. God is trying to tell me something. I didn't do that. I just went, yuck. That was disgusting. Now, when this disciple says it's the third day since all this took place, he's not seeing any meaning in that at all. He is just saying, look, it's the third day. By this time, if anything was going to happen, it would have. Nothing is going to happen. It's lost. The whole thing is gone. Their mention of the third day was not at all recalling what Jesus had said, but just to them all saying it's as good as over. No wonder Jesus responds there in verse 25, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe the Bible. In his words, the prophets. He goes on to say, this is what the Bible has been talking about all along, the suffering of the Christ and the rising of that Christ who has suffered. Now, I wonder if I can get this across. This is quite compelling to say that in the Old Testament, which was written over a period of 2,000 years before Jesus, that you can go back to that and see it continually saying that the Christ must suffer and rise from the dead. And then we find, at a point in history, Jesus Christ suffering and rising from the dead. Now you've got to be compelled by that. That is strong evidence that there is a God in charge of everything that is going on and everything is going to plan. My question is, do you see that? Do you see what is written in the scriptures? Well, one of my questions has been there, why is it that Jesus kept himself from being recognised by these two on the road to Emmaus? I don't know, have you ever wondered that? Why didn't he just say, hey, it's me, Jesus, woo, I'm alive? He didn't, he stopped them recognising him. Why did he do that? I think that it is because he wanted them and us to see him in the scriptures. Even so, when they do recognize him, their eyes are opened. What are we first drawn attention to? Verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Well, the two rush back to Jerusalem like the women had rushed from the tomb about 12 hours earlier, and they say there, it is true. What is true? Yes, he has risen, that is true, but what is true is what the women said is true. Really risen, just like the women said, really risen. I would like to suggest that, just as a tangent, that just in this story are scattered some of the very necessary seeds that make us today even feel that reeling that a woman could not be a credible witness. Here is where the seeds, where society begins to turn around. To bring a woman's understanding, a woman's word, to be just as equal as a guy's word. I mean, we all just take that for granted, but let me say, I reckon the seeds were there in the Bible. Well, while all this is going on, Jesus turns up right in front of them, and maybe the women said, "Told you so." Look, well, the people there think they're seeing a ghost. He shows them his hands and his feet. He eats some fish in front of them, and then importantly, he repeats for a third time in this chapter, saying, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." I don't think we can escape in any way the fact that in this passage that the way that Jesus wants us and them to see him in the scriptures. See, he doesn't say, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn up in every generation, show them my hands and my feet, eat a bit of fish, then they'll be convinced. And today I'll just put it on YouTube and then everyone can download the clip. They can see it, they can be convinced and they can follow me." That's not what he does. So you and I would think that although he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at once, we think, well, why didn't he walk down the main road of Jerusalem when he rose again? Saying, "G'day everyone, it's me, I'm back." Why didn't he do that? Because he wants us to see him in the scriptures. See, the message is not, "I am risen." The message is, "He is risen." It's a message not on his lips, but on our lips. It's the message of the scriptures. It's a message that he will open our minds to understand. But what I want to say to you very importantly is that we meet Jesus when we hear the teaching about Jesus, and we receive Jesus when we receive the teaching about Jesus. So the question that I have for you is, have you received Jesus? I'm not saying, do you have a fluffy feeling in your tummy when the name Jesus is mentioned? That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, have you received Jesus? Have you received the teaching in the scriptures about Jesus? Have you received the real Jesus? It is true. He is risen. And forgiveness is found in him alone. Do you believe? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, in a room like this, there'll be people at all stages. Some who've believed for a long, long time and are deeply passionate about that belief, who have seen you in the scriptures and continue to see in the scriptures week by week, day by day. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there will be those who are still wondering where Jesus is. How do you understand him? How do you receive him? Father, we pray that you would speak to every one of us today. We pray, Lord God, that you would remind us in these words that the way we see Jesus is that we see him in the scriptures understood, and the way we receive him is to receive the teaching about Jesus. We pray, Lord God, on this Easter Sunday, that you would open minds for the very first time, right now, Lord God, we pray, that they would understand the scriptures and that they would see Jesus. We pray that for all of us, in his great name. Amen.